Yeah. Today. I think they came originally from Iowa, but they were a wild rose is what it is. And so if you'd like to do that, just please feel free to do so. There's also sign up in here if anyone would like to help with a little snack after church for fellowship. And then we have prayers for Pepper and Keith or Pepper, whatever you know him as. He has open heart surgery this Tuesday. And then Michelle, what's
this? She's still with us.
Your daughter, or your
sister, she is tough.
Is still, she's trying to die, but some people take a long time, and you know how that, it's really difficult. Yeah, my sister went through that for a number of weeks, you know, and it's, that's just the way it is. And we want to be sure and keep Larry and Sue in our prayers that they have safe travel and health and so forth and come back to us this next month. Are there any other announcements need to be made? Okay. Then we begin our worship. I forget what we start to do, though.
Everyone has a Chicago folk service, right?
Yes.
Okay. Please stand.
Can you do the opening hymn first?
Oh, do we have a hymn first?
Yes.
Thank you, Julie. We'll do the first hymn, which is number 523. 523.
Thank you. Thank you. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. A reading from Galatians. For Paul, baptism is a powerful bond that unites people not only with God but with other believers. Those who call themselves children of God experience a transformation that removes prejudices of race, social class, or gender in favor of true unity in Christ. The reading. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Spirit to come out of him, the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, and he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they seized with great fear. So he got in the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home, declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Congregation may be seated.
I don't see any children here, but since I work on a children's sermon, you have to listen to it. So you are the children. Now, we'll see how many of you went to Sunday school as kids. You remember you put your hands together and say, so see, here is the church, here is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. Okay, so the church is people. There's also a song we have that I'm going to teach you. It's called We Are the Church. And it begins. And you got to use motions with this, okay? I am the church. You are the church. And then you need a partner. And then shake hands with the person. No. And look at the person next to you. Say, we are the church. Jan, be my partner. We are the church. Together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes! We're the church together. Okay, do you think you can do that? Well, do your best. And I got the choir's going to help me with three verses. And the choir will, wherever they're sitting, they will help do it. Okay, Julie?
I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together.
Church together, the third article of the Apostles' Creed. past two Sundays, remember the first Sunday we looked at the first article, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We talked about God's creating abilities and the issues that go with that for us today. And then last Sunday we looked at the second article, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jesus being the name of God's human nature and only Son of God being that of his heavenly nature. And that he is our Lord. We talk about what does it mean God is Lord? It means obedience on our part to him to do what we're supposed to do. But we have a problem, and we sort of deal with that in the third article, where we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And one of the problems in any church is that how do you make holy people out of unholy people? How do you do that? You know, and I know, having been a pastor here, and know, I think all of you, you're all unholy. I know, I could tell stories about all of you, and you could tell stories about me, right? And we don't want to do that because that's not good. But how do we become holy then if we're unholy? That's the problem. Well, the work of the Holy Spirit, we know, is called sanctification, a big word which means to make holy. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make you and me holy people, to create faith in our hearts so that we can believe. The Holy Spirit works through the Word and the sacraments. Now think of the Word. The Word comes to us through songs, comes to us through Scripture, it comes to us through the liturgy of the worship service, it comes to us through the preaching of the sermon. And it comes with the sacraments, as we will this morning celebrate Holy Communion. So I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. Now, many, many years ago, we said we can't use that word Catholic because we're not Roman Catholic, and so we've got to make Christian. So we were the Holy Christian Church. I think in the Missouri Synod, they still stick with Christian. About 30 years ago, we said we can use the word Catholic because Catholic means universal. It does not mean Roman Catholic. It means universal. So whether you're Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, whatever you happen to be, as a Christian is what I mean, of course, we're part of the holy. And what's holy mean? Set aside for a special purpose. Just like Holy Spirit, God's Spirit set aside for a special purpose, so is the church. Well, what is the church? It's interesting. I'll bet you some of you this morning said, well, I think I'm going to go to church today. Well, one thing I learned in an internship in Oklahoma, they said, well, we're going to go to the church house. I thought that was sort of strange. But the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, this building houses the church. And that's really what the song said that we sang here. It houses the church. You and I are the church. This building is not the church. It's a house where the church gathers together. It can refer to, when we say church, a denomination. Now, back in Jesus' day or afterwards, there weren't denominations. There was just one church. But today we have a number of denominations, mainly because we disagree on certain points of theology. We are a Christian community. We are a flock. And it talks about Jesus as the shepherd. Or in the Lutheran church, we talk about the pastor, the role of being shepherd of the flock. We talk about the church as the bride and Jesus as the bridegroom. We talk about the body of Christ, and we get into all the gifts of the Spirit, and each of you have different gifts. And as we all use the gifts that we have, the work of Christ is done in our midst. And the gifts differ. And that's why I've always been upset when some congregations will say, Jan, you're going to teach Sunday school this year. And you're saying, but I'm not a teacher. I don't want to do that. In fact, I do a lousy job of it. Jan should not be a teacher. Not, I'm using an example. I don't know if this is true or not. But anyway, but Jan might say, but I'm good at other things, and I'd like to do those. So that's where it's important that all of us discover what gifts has God given us. And they're all different. And we want to use them for the body of Christ. 1 Peter says we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And that's a sermon all in and of itself, just those four things. The scripture talks about us as Abraham's offspring. It talks about us as a fellowship of living people. It says we are holy. We are a communion of saints. What are saints? People set aside for a special purpose. In that respect, while you and I are sinners, we're also saints. And so that's what Luther said, we're both saint and sinner at the same time. And that's difficult to understand, but I think we all know, you know, we all live like we should. And then we always have those things we slip and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know. Or I need to ask forgiveness of someone, or I need whatever. But we are both saint and sinner at that same time. The church often refers to a local congregation, such as St. Luke's Lutheran Church. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting. How many of you would wish you could live back in the Bible days when things were really great? Have you ever thought that'd be really wonderful? I'm getting too many guesses. Well, anyway, Jan read from Galatians 3. And I want to read to you the first verse of Galatians 3, where Paul talks about all these wonderful people. The first two chapters, he tells about his sort of life history, how he became a Christian. In the middle two, chapters 3 and 4, he talks of theology, and 5 and 6 are practical things. But in chapter 3, and I'll read the Revised Standard Version, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? He calls them foolish. Now, I think I've told you before that if you don't know Greek or you don't know Hebrew, then another way to understand Scripture is look at the various translations. So I have an 8 translation Bible here of the New Testament. And I'm going to read you some of the others. Today's English says, you foolish Galatians. So does New International. Jerusalem Bible says, are you people in Galatia mad? Has someone put a spell on you? The New English Bible says, you stupid Galatians. Who must have been bewitched? And I love the Phillips. He says, oh, you dear idiots of Galatia. But you read all these translations and you sort of get the idea what Paul is talking about in Galatians. And so you see that the churches there had problems. I know some of you get really upset with the problems we have, whether it be in our congregation or our denomination. It's always been that way from the beginning of time. I think because we're human beings, we have these things we disagree about. And so we learn to work through them and try to hopefully come up with the best solution. A question for you to think about. Can you be a Christian and not be a part of the church? Can you be a Christian and not be a part of the church? And the answer is no. Now some people say, well, sure, I can worship God just as well up on the mountain as here in church. And besides, the church is full of hypocrites. And I like to respond, and there's always room for one more. You know, that's what people say. But think about it. We have the office of the keys, where with the pastor we have forgiveness of sins, we have the celebration of the sacraments. Can you do that without the church? I don't think so. We practice forgiveness of sins. We're in the process of calling a person to be our pastor, Larry being our interim pastor, but of calling a pastor. We think that's really important. And we spend a lot of money on it. Pastors aren't cheap. We all know that. But somehow we've decided pastors are important to lead us in a life of faith and worship. I want you to listen when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, what Martin Luther says in the third article, which all of you have memorized at one time or another. He says, I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Paul says, if you say, I'm going to be a Christian, you're not capable of doing it. You have to have the Holy Spirit to enable you to be a Christian. But he says, instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, and enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. And so we have to all daily ask God to forgive our sins, and we work to lead a life more pleasing to God. We ask His Holy Spirit to be present in us that we may be able to do it. So the church is one in that we have one Lord Jesus Christ. The church is holy in that sins are forgiven on a daily basis. The church is apostolic, which means we follow the teachings of the apostles. And the church is a community of faith. Think about, you all have friends or know people who said, I can be a Christian without going to church. Well, how can you love one another if you're not together with other people, other Christians? How can you build one another up in faith if you're not with other Christians? How can you strengthen one another? The Bible is always talking about doing these things together. If we're at a point in our life where we say, well, I really don't need others, maybe that's true, but others need us. There's always one way or the other, and usually it's both ways at the same time. We need one another to strengthen each other. Michelle needs the congregation to support her in this difficult time she's going through. Heifer needs our prayers as he has surgery on Tuesday. Larry and Sue need our prayers so that they have safe travel so that they can come back to us. And so that's the purpose of the church. That's what we do as we unholy people and yet holy people at the same time. That's what we do. Sometimes I think, it also talks about in this article, and we believe in the forgiveness of sins. This is part of the creed. This is what the Bible teaches, the forgiveness of sins. You ever heard someone say, I'll never forgive you for that? Well, that's a horrible thing to say. Because how do we pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Ooh. You know, that's almost like that one song we have, Lord, take my silver and my gold, not of mine, what I withhold. I sort of like to skip that verse because I'm not sure if am I willing to really do that. Well, in the Lord's Prayer we say, forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. As that tells us, we have to forgive others. And when we think about it, the sins that others have committed, when we think of the sins we've committed to God, they're really small. But they seem big in our eyes, you know, because we know we were right and they were wrong. But we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then it says, I believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting. The resurrection of the body. I heard something on TV. A woman had lost her husband in Iraq, or wherever it was, I'm not sure. And she said, so I had to tell my children, very tearful, but Daddy is now an angel, and he's with the angels. And I thought, no, Daddy is not an angel. We don't become angels when we die. Some people, I don't know where they get this stuff, they think it sounds nice, and I don't think that's even something we want to say to our children. There's a resurrection of the body coming. What's the judgment day about? It comes. You know, I think all we can know, at least from my perspective, and you can argue if you think I'm wrong, but when we die, the best thing I can say is we're with God. And if we're with God, then what else does it matter? Now, we have our ideas of what that means, but the judgment day, we still believe in the judgment day. That's part of the creed. And so we wait for it. And you know, for us, time is like, well, my father's been dead over 30 years, and my mom's been dead, I don't know, 8 years or whatever it is. Seems like a long time, but God doesn't have the dimensions of time and space. He, I don't know how he does it. I mean, that's the only way that I can think, and I think most of us can. But Scripture says we are with God, and on the judgment day, we don't fear it because waiting for God to declare. Whatever we are in relationship with God now, that's where we will be on that day. And God will say, welcome, John, welcome, Jan, welcome, whoever, you know, and come into my kingdom. And actually, we're already his kingdom here on earth, but this will be the final day that we are with him. And so to finish up on this article here, Luther says, and on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. And I thought about, you know, we have, sometimes we bury a physical body, and sometimes we do cremation. I know in Roswell, I had a guy there, and he liked to hunt on El Capitan. So he had a third of his ashes put there, a third at the church in Roswell, and a third on the UP in Michigan, where it came from. And someone said, well, how can it be raised from the dead? And I just said, well, that just gives God a little bit of a challenge, doesn't it? But what happens if you're buried at sea? Or, you know, whatever. But and I don't understand, how can we have a resurrection of the body? It doesn't say a soul or spirit, but it says resurrection of the body. That's the witness of Scripture, and therefore that is what we believe. Well, anyway, this ends the series on the Apostles' Creed, and I hope, I know for me, just trying to work on a sermon has helped me think more about it and reflect on what does the Creed mean, and the Creed really is a way of saying, here's what I, as a Christian, believe. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you've made us, that you've taken us as your people, and sometimes not great people, but we don't know any people you've taken that were great, and yet you've made us great by making us your saints. You call us your saints, you call us your children, you love us, you care for us, and in that we rejoice. And so we thank you for that, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn, number 396. 399. Yes, 396.
Over the eons, you hold true.
continue with the creed in your folder.
Hear our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace of good heart.
Thanks to the Lord. comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Father, you are holy indeed. All your actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image and set us over your creation. Even when we had fallen under the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant blessing for all people. You rescued your chosen people, Israel, as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder, he proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even giving his life. For us he was lifted up on the cross that we might know the power of his resurrection, and that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believe, and to comfort and guide us and make us children of you, his Father. Father, through him and in his name we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit, so that until the time comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us. At supper in the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And when the meal was ended, he took a cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all people, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this to remember me, for I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." Please come up at this time to receive the elements.
No. That's church.
You don't mind me.
No.
Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The
body of Christ. Body of Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Father, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, strength to preserve us into life everlasting, his grace be with us. Go in his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Simeon's song. Simeon's song.
Darkness, darkness.
Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.